matters. You bet it does.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carr. With nearly 21.5 million people expected to be in the air during the Memorial Day travel weekend, the FAA is planning to expand the flow control system to give airliners a choice to sit out the bad weather or to fly around it.
They're testing new software that enables them for the first time to identify which flights will go through bad weather and which flights won't. In the past, they would just have to institute a ground stop in bad weather. So, for example, if there was bad weather near Boston, they might stop all flights going into Boston, even when a flight coming from the north or the south might not go through the bad weather at all.
CBS News transportation correspondent Nancy Cordes. Ask the people who run the top hotels around the world. They'll tell you who the best, most well-mannered tourists are. Tops in the Expedia survey, Japanese. Number two, Americans, then the Swiss. When it comes to spending, Americans lead the world, followed by Russians and British travelers. As we face record high gasoline prices with the summer season still to come, the U.S. House has passed a bill to order penalties against gas price gouging that could mean jail time.
The oil companies have the consumer over a barrel of oil.
Ed Markey of Massachusetts. However, that bill wouldn't be any help right now, even if it were law. It's only effective in times of national energy emergency, and they are rare indeed. Former Justice Department liaison to the White House, Monica Goodling, says Deputy AG Paul McNulty misled Congress about the federal prosecutor firings. He disputes that. Goodling says she didn't do everything right either.
The best I can say is that I know I took political considerations into account on some occasions.
Was that legal?
Sir, I'm not able to answer that question. I know I crossed the line.
She also says she thinks Attorney General Gonzalez saw the firing list, though he's testified to Congress he did not. President Bush spoke to graduates at the Coast Guard Academy today with some declassified intel on Osama bin Laden.
President Bush is wrapping new terror talk into a stepped-up defense of his Iraq war policy. He pointed to previous intelligence indicating Osama bin Laden hoped to use Iraq-based terrorists to hit U.S. targets.
In the minds of al-Qaeda leaders, 9/11 was just a down payment on the violence yet to come.
Critics have accused the administration of selectively using intelligence to support its war policies. The White House says the president went public with details today because plots were declassified after the death or capture of key players. Peter Mayer, CBS News, New London, Connecticut.
Some people will click on just about anything. European computer specialist Didier Stevens set up a simple advertisement inviting people to download a virus into their computer. It said, is your PC virus free? Get it infected here. And 409 people clicked. It was just a stupidity test. There was no real virus. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 14 points. NASDAQ was off 11 today. This is CBS News.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before. So remember, always buckle up or you will get caught. Day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We all have some place we need to go, and Goodyear Tires can help you get there. And right now, during the Goodyear Get There Tire event, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card with the purchase of a set of four select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. The Goodyear Get There Tire event, going on now. Goodyear, get there. Offer ends 5/28/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Purchases made on the Goodyear credit card are subject to credit approval.
So what are the chances of hitting 10 or 11 holes in one since January of this year? Jacqueline Gagne has done it, and she's only been playing golf 4 years.
Every one of the hole-in-ones have been authenticated, if you will, through multiple sources. You know, I know people are going to be somewhat, you know, skeptical because it's something, I don't know if it's ever happened before, to be honest with you.
Mike Mitchell, golf pro, like a proud papa, in Rancho Mirage, California. He taught her how to strike the golf ball.
We define luck as preparation for opportunity, and she's prepared, and the opportunity has arisen, and she's taken advantage of it. So more power to her.
Mm-hmm. The odds, by the way, roughly 1 in 114 quadrillion of doing that. A recent retiree in Fallbrook, California, has died driving a golf cart at the Palomesa Resort, 50 miles north of San Diego. They don't know why he left the concrete pathway, drove down a 25-foot embankment to the edge of the cliff, and over he went and died on impact, about 75 feet down. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
The Michelin man has hit the road to test his tires. Today he's on Nevada's aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll go vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he's chosen Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. To learn more about saving gas with Michelin Hydro-Edge tires, visit MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., joining you from San Francisco once again today. And you probably know our toll-free number when you want to call in and talk on the program is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can also send me email, peter@peterbcollins.com. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Once again, I want to welcome our brand-new affiliate, KPOJ 620 in Portland, Oregon. We're on the air there on Saturday and Sunday afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m., and I'm delighted to be reaching new listeners and to be a part of America's most successful progressive talk station, KPOJ. So I'm glad you're with us, and like I said, if you want to comment or respond to what you hear on the program today in Portland, just drop us an email 24/7. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. This hour, we're going to try something interesting and a little different. As you know, there are many intractable problems in the world, and in particular, the differences between Israel and the Palestinians are very severe. They continue to produce conflict and losses on both sides, and many people believe they are at the center of the issues of radical Islam and some of the other factors that the U.S. is confronting with its policies, albeit misguided, its foreign policies related to the Middle East. Joining us today are two people who are used to disagreeing with each other. Anissa Mehedi is a filmmaker, a journalist, and also a musical performer. She's won Emmys for her work, and she also works to find common ground with people with whom she may not agree on specific issues. I met Anissa here on the Peter B. Collins Show just a couple of weeks back. Anissa, nice to talk with you again.
It's good to be back, Peter. Thanks.
Also with us is Michael Lame. He is a management consultant, an organizational trainer. He conducts leadership and communication programs. And together with Anissa, they have put together a seminar that they're offering to both corporate settings and to college campuses this year, to try to explore their differences and their areas of agreement. And they have agreed to try this out on our program today. And we're going to talk about some of these difficult, complex, and contentious issues that have kept people apart in the Middle East for decades, if not centuries. And while we don't expect to come away here with a blueprint for peace, I think that we may come up with some interesting ideas and identify some common ground that we otherwise may have overlooked. So let me start off, Anissa and Michael, just with a basic thought of mine, and that is that George W. Bush has repeatedly told us that his foreign policies are intended to make America and the world a safer place. Do you both agree that his adventures in Iraq in particular, and an occupation that is now clocking in over 4 years, have not only failed to achieve that goal, but perhaps the opposite, that the world is a much safer place, and nations and forces that were not ascendant when George W. Bush took office are now much stronger, despite our efforts in many cases to marginalize them. Let me start with Michael. What is your view in general of the Bush foreign policy, and has it achieved that goal? Are we safer?
Well, I don't think you can attribute to the Bush administration the existence of radical Islam in the world. It was there before he took office, and it's still there, and it's a growing force in the world. Whether U.S. forces were in Iraq or not, and by the way, I think you conspicuously didn't mention Afghanistan, I think there would be that force to contend with. So is the world safer because U.S. forces are in Iraq? I don't know. Certainly there are more Americans dying today in Iraq than there were before. That doesn't mean that there aren't forces that need to be fought somewhere in the world. And I'd rather there were forces being fought, Al-Qaeda in particular, a world away than here in the United States.
Now that sounds like the Bush phrase, we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here.
Well, look, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Bush lover. I think his policies are highly inarticulate. I mean, there's no one in the administration who can do a good job of saying why we went to Iraq in the first place. I happen to have supported the invasion of Iraq, not for any reason about WMD or anything that anybody, Cheney or Bush, said, but because I thought it was unfinished business from the first Gulf War back in 91, and that it was a mistake throughout the Clinton years and early on in the second Bush administration to leave Saddam Hussein in power after his aborted invasion of Kuwait. And that was unfinished business in U.S. foreign policy, and I think it should have been considered unfinished business for the world at large.
All right. Anissa Mehdi?
I think that there's no doubt that life for Iraqis is decidedly less safe and less pleasant than it was before the American invasion of 2003, and certainly of 1991. Things could not, we thought perhaps it couldn't be worse than under Saddam Hussein, and I believe that there's no doubt that it is now. I also believe, Peter, that we are in no safer position thanks to the American invasion of Iraq and our continued bombings in Afghanistan. We are absolutely no safer, and I think that this has served to collect people together with hostile thoughts towards us who wouldn't have had those otherwise.
Lisa, how can you tell that we're not safer? There was an attack on 9/11. There hasn't been something else like that in the United States since.
Well, let's look at the distance between the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center, which has been, you know, associated with Al-Qaeda looking back with Osama bin Laden, and the distance between that and 2001. These are perhaps not going to be frequent. But as an American traveling, and I don't know, you've traveled out of the States recently as well, Michael.
Yeah, sure.
I find what I'm hearing from people is that they're more and more and more fed up with not just the American administration. And there's been a long time a distinction that people overseas have had of us between the American people and the American administration. And there's less patience with the American people now. And I'm not saying that we're less safe in terms of we'll be attacked, but I think our planet is a less safe place. There was London, there was Madrid. There are other instances.
And do you look to the United States for that, or do you look to the people who were blowing things up for that?
It didn't happen before we attacked Iraq.
Well, let me jump in here and ask you both, do you believe that military approaches are the right way to address radical Islam? Michael?
I had the opportunity years ago to sit in the home of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the founder of Hamas, or the spiritual leader of Hamas, back in the late 1980s, a very quiet, soft-spoken, mild-mannered fellow. And by the end of my conversation with him, which was translated through a Palestinian friend, it was clear that there was no compromise with this man. For him, the existence of the State of Israel was Islamically unacceptable. So I came away thinking, there are categories of enemies. People say you don't make peace with your friends, you make peace with your enemies. But the truth is you make peace with those enemies with whom you can make peace. And there are others with whom there is no compromise and there is no reaching any common ground. And I think at least Hamas at that time was like that. I think it may still be that way today. So if you have those kinds of folks with whom there is no compromise, then I think you have to use military means or incarceration or some way to neutralize people like that. Other people with whom you can talk and negotiate and compromise, absolutely do that rather than leap to the use of arms.
But I think you're making a fundamental misjudgment that terrorists can be dealt with and annihilated through the use of superpower military force. Asymmetrical warfare is occurring in Iraq right now, and we have Americans dying on a daily basis, tens of Iraqis dying on a daily basis, and it is a very difficult type of a conflict to subdue with air forces and navies and Bradley fighting vehicles. I think that, you know, we're addressing the problem with the wrong remedies. Michael?
And what we've seen with what we've done is an acceleration of radicalism. You know, I think this was, if we were looking at a chemical experiment, whatever we put in was an accelerator to something that might be happening anyway.
All right, Michael, your turn.
Well, I see these bumper stickers and signs in windows saying war is not the answer. And I always wonder, well, what's the question? War is not the answer to some things, and it may indeed be the answers to others. With people with whom you cannot, who want you dead, no matter what you say or do, you've got to subdue them. And I think your argument, Peter, about Air Force and Bradley fighting vehicles is really a tactical issue about what's the best form of counterinsurgency. But there are ways of fighting a war against insurgents, and it's been effective in some parts of the world. So to say that you can't fight in terrorists is to say that the terrorists, no matter what their cause, are going to win. And I don't think that's true, and I think that's a very bad lesson for the world
That is not my point.
You can't fight them.
That's not my point. I'm saying that we have fulfilled Osama bin Laden's most incredible dreams by deploying a couple of 100,000 American forces and maybe up to 200,000 actual uniform members plus the 100,000 contractors by the end of this year. We have deployed them on their soil, on their terms, and we are sitting ducks. And I'm not saying that you turn a blind eye to attacks on our nation or others. I'm saying that you have to be smart and you have to be very strategic about it, and I think we have been neither. I need to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment with Anissa Mehedi and Michael Lame. We're having an interesting conversation here as they disagree on everything, and we'll tell you about the events that they can put on at a campus or at a corporate setting a little bit later this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. Yes, you can join this conversation too. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
AM to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Glenn Plantone, Rock Rollin' Real Estate's own Indiana Jones. Glenn covers all over the world for the best real estate investments, and this week he'll be talking about a condo hotel project in Orlando, Florida. Call him at 702-769-9872. 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday morning at 10, your number one source in real estate investments, Rock Rollin' Real Estate, right here on KRXA 540.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evenings 7 to 8. Taking shame and blame out of addiction, we take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evenings 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes after the hour. And this is way behind the scenes, behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. But I rely on one computer here for all the music and audio drop-ins and a list of the callers. And that computer crashed right at the beginning of the show today. But we've nursed it back to life. So we can proceed to work on some more difficult issues. Oh, you know, like the Bush administration's foreign policy and peace in the Middle East, as elusive as that might be. We're talking with Anissa Mady and Michael Lane, and they are long-term friends and colleagues who don't agree on everything. In fact, they do seminars called Disagreeing on Everything. And we started off talking about the Middle East and the extent to which Bush's foreign policy has made things worse. That's my view. And, Michael Lame, I just want to return to what we were talking about there a couple of minutes ago before the break. And that is that I do not believe that we should simply sit back and wait for the next attack to occur. But Rudy Giuliani, in this year's run-up to next year's presidential campaign, has been dinging Democrats, saying that they just want to play defense. And I think that's a mischaracterization, and it's intentionally misleading, because the offense that the Bush administration has played has stirred up the hornet's nest. It has, tossed gasoline on a bonfire that already existed. And I believe that you noted that I conspicuously left out Afghanistan. I think that the response to 9/11 of trying to go after the Taliban and Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda, in Afghanistan was an arguably sensible response. And when it was conflated with Iraq, when Saddam was interposed with Osama in the minds of many Americans by rather clever speechcraft of Bush and his cronies, I think that we were misled into one of the biggest blunders in American political history. Do you agree that at least in hindsight, that the invasion and occupation of Iraq was a major mistake?
I thought about that a great deal because, as I said, I supported it initially, and it's still unclear to me whether it was a mistake or it was simply not well done, not well fought. I mean, various people talked about the dissolving the Iraqi military was a mistake, or that the forces didn't come down from the north as well as from the south as originally intended, or various decisions made by Paul Bremer or other people along the way. Certainly it hasn't been well handled, but that may not, you can have the right cause and fight it badly. I think that's the case.
So then you do continue to believe that removing Saddam was a noble goal?
Absolutely. He was a disaster for his own people. He was completely untrustworthy as far as what he was going to do next. He'd started a war with Iran that had cost millions of lives.
But he remained a major counterpoint to Iran in the region, and his removal has made Iran a much more powerful force, and Bush is contemplating military force against Iran now.
Gentlemen, let's not forget that he was helping the American position vis-a-vis Iran. He wasn't doing that without American support.
Indeed.
You're talking about Saddam Hussein?
Yes. He received support from us. In fact, George Bush Sr., as vice president, personally approved the conversion of $3 billion in agricultural credits to cash so Saddam could use them to buy arms to maintain his confrontation with Iran. That's 1988.
Well, there's no doubt that America's foreign policy is checkered and that we've supported some bad guys over the years and made some mistakes. I still don't think that lets Saddam off the hook for being a blight on his own people.
But if we're going to start taking out, Michael, and
I believe the world, apart from the whole issue of Iraq, Iran, since the 79 revolution, is militant and intent, it appears, on having nuclear weapons, and that is a danger in and of itself, apart from whatever mess we're partly to blame for in Iraq.
I've got a lot to say. I want to give Anissa a shot, though. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm not quite even sure where to go. There were so many. There's the Iran and nuclear weapons and being belligerent. I think Iran, and I've been there several times, I think that they're establishing an individual personality. They're not part of the American satellite system. They're neither part of the Soviet or Russian satellite system. They're trying to maintain and create an independent persona on the planet. And, you know, folks in this country don't seem to appreciate that. Whether or not they are developing nuclear weapons, they are certainly at a stage that almost 140 other countries on our planet have reached with their uranium enrichment. So Iran is not the only, quote-unquote, intransigent nation vis-a-vis uranium enrichment, but it's the one that we've decided as a nation, the United States has decided we need to do something about.
Because there was a speech that identified them as part of an axis of evil. The rhetoric preceded the policy. We need to go to a break, and then we'll return for more Point and Counterpoint with Michael Lame and Anissa Mehdi. And you can visit the website anissamehdi.com for more information, A-N-I-S-A-M-E-H-D-I. More coming up after a break right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the taxi driver. And yesterday, I told you you should go take a walk. Well, what did I mean by that? Here, let me try to explain. Let's use high gas prices as an example. Most people feel like big oil is ripping us off and sticking it to us, and unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. But I think there is something we can do about it. We can use these community walks as a platform and a way to show big oil or whoever we're unhappy with that we want change. So how do we put something like this together? Well, I suggest call your PTA, talk to the people at church. This would even work with people you just meet at the grocery store. By doing this, you'll meet like-minded people, you can coordinate your efforts to make change, and you'll get some exercise at the same time, which will make you healthier and make you feel better. This is Todd the taxi driver. Go out and walk for change.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Ron Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Our founding fathers warned us, what we have weathered is nothing to compare with what is here now. This Saturday and Sunday, May 26th and May 27th, come to Conspiracy Con at the San Jose Doubletree Inn. Speakers talking about 9/11, Iraq, depleted uranium, past and present conspiracies. Call 209-832-0999 or www.conspiracycon.com. Share your views and learn more. Conspiracycon.com.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the rights to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We've got an interesting dialogue underway here between two individuals who know and like each other but don't agree politically. I'm trying to referee, but you can see I'm a highly opinionated guy. Never
That's the theme from Top Gun. And it reminds me of George W. Bush's premature ejaculation on that aircraft carrier off San Diego with the mission accomplished banner that the White House didn't know anything about. Our presenters, call them debaters or disagreeers, are Anissa Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I, and Michael Lane. They are with us this hour, and you can join this conversation. We'll go to your phone calls here in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In fact, let's bring in Dave right now. He's one of our stalwarts from Eureka. Dave, go right ahead. You're on the air with Peter B., Michael, and Anissa.
Well, originally I had one simple question, but you left me on hold too long, and now it's getting all complicated.
Uh-oh.
But for you, Michael, three questions. One, did I hear you trying to make a connection between 9/11 and our invasion and occupation in Iraq?
And let's start there. Go ahead, Michael.
No. No, I don't think that there's any strong or conclusive evidence that Iraq was behind or involved in the 9/11 attack. No, I was not making that case, that that was a justification in any way for the invasion of Iraq.
And for you, the justification is residual. It's unfinished business from the early 1990 Desert Storm adventure?
Yes. I actually think there ought to be some kind of new international policy that if one country launches an aggressive war against a neighbor such that the world sees fit to roll back that aggression, that the war shouldn't end until the regime that launched that war is removed from power. If that had been the case in 91, we, the world, because the UN was behind that, as you recall, would have removed Saddam Hussein back in 91, and we wouldn't have had this latest war or all those years of no-fly zones and as well as what happened to the Kurds and the Shiites following in the aftermath of the First Gulf War.
I'd be real careful with a policy like that because it could be applied to a lot of governments that we consider friendly to the United States. But let's let Dave go on. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, the second question from Mike and Anissa, and it risks me appearing as one with a tin hat of craziness, but if it should prove to be a fact that 9/11 was an inside job, would either or both of you want to know that fact?
All right. Let's go to Anissa first.
By inside job, do you mean?
Planned and executed by members of our own government.
It would be absolutely shattering. Shattering. But if it's the truth, yeah, I'd want to know.
All right.
I'd want to know.
Michael?
If it's the truth, it should come out, but I think that's a kooky conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
The third one for you, Peter.
All right.
And that is that you know about PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Downing Street memo.
Yep.
You know about the character of this administration. You know how profitable this war is, and you are calling it a blunder?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's more than that, but it certainly is a blunder. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your call today. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join this conversation. Michael,
I guess he's meaning that it's not a blunder for everybody, that there are some folks who are making out.
Well,
at least economically as a result. Is that what David's implying?
Yes, that is his point. It has been a corporate feeding frenzy, and you can just look at stocks of Halliburton and the oil companies to see the way they have benefited. Let me ask you each to give kind of a final comment about this, and then I want to move on to the Israel-Palestine conflict. Anissa first.
Well, what I want to say is that I actually do agree with Michael. There are times when military intervention is necessary, and one of them was, for example, with Bosnia. I think we entered too late in the Bosnia situation where far more women were raped than needed to be, and far more people were massacred and thrown into mass graves than needed to be. But it was essential, finally, that there was a reaction from the United States and from the world body to what was going on in Bosnia.
I also would simply offer the example of Yugoslavia as a situation where the Tito government was never one of my favorites. But when you blow the lid off, these artificial nations with competing and conflicting ethnic and other groups, it is hell to pay. You cannot get those genies back in the bottle, toothpaste back in the tube, whatever hackneyed phrase you want to use. And I think that was clearly evident vis-a-vis Iraq, that you can argue that Saddam was a bad guy, maybe even in the top five in the world. But we didn't take out the other four of the top five bad guys in the world, and for good reason. And some of those reasons were advanced by stalwart Republicans. You don't have to look to a lefty like me. If George W. Bush had talked to his dad and Brent Scowcroft before he launched this adventure, gosh, it could be way different. Michael?
Just on that last point, those were also the guys who allowed the U.S. to stand by when, in the aftermath of the 91 war, Saddam slaughtered the Kurds in the north and the Shiites in the south. That's the kind of realpolitik foreign policy that I don't believe that is worthy of the United States of America. One other point, Anissa was just before the break talking about Iran. I believe Iran is much further along than other countries in its development of nuclear weapons. It's got a president who's threatened to wipe Israel off the map. If you couple that with Holocaust denial, with supplying weapons to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to Iraq Shiites, I think you've got a real threat there, not only to Israel, to Sunni Arab regimes, to Europe, but also very much so to the United States of America.
Well, I don't want to sound like an apologist, but you need to notice the neighborhood Iran lives in. We've got a nuclear Israel, there's a nuclear India, a nuclear Pakistan, and nuclear Russia.
So we need more nuclear powers in the Middle East? Is that your argument?
No, we don't need more nuclear powers at all, but I mean, there is a possibility that they're looking at a defensive position.
And then we become the selective world policeman. We let India know it's okay to have nukes, and they have a policy that is very hard to observe or enforce. We have turned a blind eye to Pakistan's nuclear capabilities and their proliferation. We've let AQ Khan get a free ride, and we claim to have great influence with the Musharraf government, which hasn't done diddly to help us capture Osama bin Laden either. And to me, those are much more serious issues that the U.S. needed to deal with long before an invasion and occupation of Iraq. But let's stop there on that, and next I want to turn to an even more difficult set of issues, the simmering problems between Israel and its Palestinian neighbors. They have been exchanging rockets and missiles over the past few weeks. The tenuous ceasefire has not held, and the problems are very complex. We have Palestinians attacking Palestinians. The Fatah movement and Hamas are not only in disagreement in terms of how to form a reconciliation government, but they're shooting at one another in the streets. And let me focus primarily on the U.S. role here. Michael Lane, do you feel that the Bush administration has properly prioritized the issues between Israel and Palestine as major contributors to the tensions in other parts of the region?
I think people for a long time have said that that's the heart of all the problems in the Middle East. I think you can pretty categorically say that that's not so. The fighting going on in Lebanon in the last couple days is not because of Israel. The fighting going on in Iraq is not because of Israel. The war between Iraq and Iran that happened in the 80s, that was not because of Israel. That's not to say there aren't real problems there. But one of the things about U.S. foreign policy, I think, is to call a spade a spade. We're not neutral. This whole idea of honest broker, I think, is nonsense. Israel is an ally of the United States, unofficial. But the Palestinian entity, the PA, is not an ally of the United States. So to say that the United States should be even-handed, I think, is a misunderstanding of where U.S. Interests lie, and also longstanding values of the United States about democracy and other issues that capitalism and free enterprise and freedom of speech and civil liberties, a lot of things that the United States and Israel share in common.
Let me follow up there, because just a second, Anissa, the U.S. encouraged the Palestinians to go forward with their elections, and they elected a majority from Hamas. And then we said, oh, no, 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 we can't handle that kind of democracy. And we sided with Israel as Israel really ratcheted up the pressure, notably by impounding large amounts of Palestinian tax money collected by Israel that had been routinely passed through in the prior administrations, even under Arafat, in the most difficult days. And suddenly Israel says, well, no, you can't have your money. You know, we've got to really decide if the U.S. is a promoter of democracy, then we have to live with the results of free and fair elections.
I don't think that democracy is only about elections. It is about civil liberties. It is about a civil society that's not ruled by men with machine guns going through the streets unimpeded. I believe, and I need to check this out, that there was a provision in the Oslo Accord saying that to participate in Palestinian elections, any party needed to accept the accords. Hamas never did that. It was a mistake for it to have been allowed to participate when it rejected the fundamental structure under which those elections were being held, which was working out a peaceful resolution of conflict with Israel. So, yes, I'm in favor of democracy, but that's far more than just elections, and whoever gets elected can run the country however they please and without any regard to what happened before that.
Anissa?
You're going to have to forgive me for just this moment. I was distracted, and I'm sorry to be so unprofessional, but my daughter just came into the room, and our cat died in the last couple of moments here, so
I
wasn't able to pay the kind of attention I would have to Michael. But I would say...
I'll tell you what, Anissa, let me jump in here, and let's take our break right now. And let's let you get composed, and when we come back from the break, we'll restate Michael's comments for you so that you can comment on them. That's a very difficult situation to deal with. And so take a break, take a couple of deep breaths, and we will return. We're talking with Anissa Mehdi and her friend and disagreeable colleague, Michael Lane. Not disagreeable, but disagreeing. And we'll continue in just a moment. If you want to join this chat, you can do it right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Salt beans. And our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes away from the hour. And if you just joined us, we've got a conversation going between two people who like and respect one another, but have deep differences, particularly on our policies in the Middle East. Filmmaker Anissa Mehdi is with us, along with Michael Lane. He's a management consultant and organizational trainer. And let's just pause here in our dialogue for a moment, Anissa. For our listeners along the Central Coast, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, Anissa will be at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur coming up in July 20th, and the weekend that follows. And tell us what you're going to be talking about, Anissa.
Well, we are calling this course Celebrating Abraham's Family. Abraham being the prophet, we Muslims like to call him a prophet. I'm not sure how he's best referred to by Christians and Jews, but we have myself as a leader and my Jewish fellow trustee at Esalen, Lyle Poncher, and Peggy Shriver, who was assistant secretary at the National Council of Churches. The three of us will be leading a weekend-long course in which we are inviting people to explore what faith means to them in a deeply personal way while they are learning some of the basics and fundamentals about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. What distinguishes them from each other? What are some common points? And so it's a personal faith exploration. Mm-hmm. As you know, Esalen's been big into body-mind-spirit connections, and we're pushing further in the area of faith these days than in recent history.
And if people want to attend that or get more information, what's the best website to go to?
Well, go to www.esalen.org, and put in Abraham in the search, and you'll probably come up with our course.
Okay. And as long as we're giving out web addresses, I want to repeat your website. It's anissamehdi.com, AnissaMehdi.com. And the discussion we're having is modeled after a presentation that Michael Lame and Anissa have been making to corporate settings, and it's also available for college campuses. I think you get the flavor of their disagreement, but it's something that I think you understand is not based on hate or disrespect of one another, but a sense of trying to find common ground or at least a mutual understanding.
Precisely that. Peter, what we really need to do is find ways, and I'm saying we in a very royal way, find ways that we can talk about contentious issues without polarizing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is we stop listening to the other person. We stop hearing what that person has to say. We dismiss that person out of hand, and we start personalizing things instead of saying, oh, this is a human being whose opinion I might actually learn something from if I just taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And walk forward together with, rather than building walls between. We've seen how well walls work.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Michael may disagree that wall that's going on between Israel and the West Bank, they have a different...
No, I've seen that wall. It's an ugly wall. No, the personal connection is really important. From the years I lived in Israel, a number of years, and I spent a lot of time going into the West Bank and Gaza and talking with Palestinians, and when I would come back and meet with Israeli friends in Tel Aviv, they'd say, stay away from them, they're the enemy, why do you go near these people? So I found that there's very little connection, and even less so now, since the Second Intifada, between Israelis and Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this vast gap of really not knowing who these people are. At the same time, in talking about issues, I think it's important to be able to talk about all the issues. So in America, it's perfectly acceptable to talk about politics, but it's very dangerous to talk about religion. But religion is so key to understanding the conflict in the Middle East, or the conflicts in the Middle East, that I think you have to bring that up and be able to talk about it openly.
I agree. Now, Anissa, have you ever succeeded in changing Michael's mind or his opinion?
I think I have heard him say once or twice, I agree with you. Haven't you, Michael? Come on, give me a break this time. So I think that,
yes, I have.
Yes, he has. Yes. He's had some good ideas. One of the ideas that he had that I agreed with was we should really write a book about this whole approach that we're taking, laying out our arguments and analyzing our conversations and seeing if that might not be a good tool for other people to learn from as well.
Well, one of the reasons that I was intrigued when Anissa proposed having both of you on today is that I really feel that we are sinking into parallel universes, and that based on our own biases and histories, we are channeling information that tends to feed our bias. And we see it in a distinct way in this country, where the viewers of the Fox News channel still believe there was a connection between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, and you can cite other factors as well. But there are people on the extremes in the United States who feel that they have their own set of facts. And so it's very hard to build common understanding when we each believe or we have suspicions that the other side is not playing with a full deck or the same deck. Michael?
I absolutely agree. I think it's important. I'm Jewish. I think it's important for Jews to understand Islam from an Islamic perspective, for example. It's important for Israelis and American Jews who sympathize with Israel to understand the Palestinian story or narrative, as it is called nowadays, of what happened in 48. What Israelis call the War of Independence, the Palestinians call al-Nakba, the catastrophe. That indicates how different the view is of the history of the region. And I think it's crucial that people be able to understand the other side from the other side's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just bring up one more issue here, because we've got about 3 minutes remaining. And that is, you know, depending on where you want to start looking at events, you can come up with scenarios, again, that support one's own bias. But I think that the occupation is presumably, at least I presume, as painful for Israel as in many respects it is for the Palestinians. And yet there's a kind of lockdown where Israel fears that if it pulls back any further, that it will simply be inviting more attacks. And the Palestinians feel justified on a daily basis to use any means necessary, including rockets and suicide bombers, to confront the occupiers. Anissa, do you have a sense of how we can move forward and beyond the intractable elements of the occupation?
Well, I think that there are efforts underway that we don't hear about. I think that either our media doesn't know or doesn't find reconciliation and hands across the wall type of work enticing to report on. But I know that there are organizations within Israel, and there are organizations within in the Palestinian communities. There are women's groups that are working together. There are families of the bereaved, people who have lost a mother, father, sister, brother, child in a suicide bombing, and people who have lost mother, brother, sister, child in an Israeli missile attack, so who are coming together and saying, enough is enough. And I think that if we find ways to publicize these kinds of efforts, which, you know, might be called heartwarming and fuzzy, but are actually substantial, that's one way that we can move forward. The other, of course, is to support real democracy, as you were alluding to earlier, Peter. If we want them to vote, they get to choose who's going to represent them, and removing our the money that they need to run their government is just not right.
All right. Michael?
You have to pay close attention to the words that are used. Often when people from Hamas talk about the occupation, they mean all of Palestine, meaning the state of Israel, as well as the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem. So they consider Jaffa and Haifa and Acre, which have been part of Israel since 1948, they consider them to be under occupation. So when they talk about ending the occupation, it's actually a code for the destruction or elimination or replacement of the state of Israel by a Palestinian state. But no people appreciates foreign occupation. And I've spent, as I said, time in the West Bank and Gaza, and I think it's far more painful for the Palestinians than it is for the Israelis. And most Israelis really don't know or want to know, I believe, what it means to, for Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza to live under military occupation.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. And, Anissa, our condolences to you on the loss of your cat in the middle of our program. That's not easy. But I thank you each for your contribution, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, Michael Lame and Anissa Mehdi. Again, her website, anisamehdi.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Sober Stone's Big Sur Jade. With our busy lives, it's hard to stay balanced and calm during the day. Sober Stone's Deep Green Big Sur Jade are great reminders to keep your eye on the ball. Staying sober, present, and awake to life. Keep them in your pocket throughout the day. Look at them, feel them. What our native ancestors used in healing for thousands of years are available for you now. Call 521-7917. Sober Stone's in all sizes for all budgets. 521-7917.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Target Iran.
U.S. and other allied intelligence agencies are actively engaged in covert efforts to sabotage the country's nuclear program.
A House vote on gasoline price gouging.
Consumers are forced to supply whatever money the oil companies demand.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a CBS News exclusive. While the International Atomic Energy Agency warns that Iran is defying the UN by expanding its uranium enrichment, CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports that U.S. and other intelligence operatives are sabotaging the program by selling Iran bad components.
One successful example was cited by senior government representative CBS News spoke to on condition neither they nor their country be identified. Call it the case of the exploding power supplies. In April 2006, as Iran was first running centrifuges and attempting to enrich uranium, the power supplies blew up, destroying 50 centrifuges.
Iran is vulnerable because it's banned from buying nuclear material, so it has to rely on the black market. Now this.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
In the House today,
yeas are 284, nays are 141, two-thirds being in the affirmative. The rules are suspended. The bill is passed.
Convinced that with gasoline prices this high, someone has to be cheating, the House approved penalties for anyone taking unfair advantage of consumers or charging unconscionably excessive prices.
Christians had a better chance against the lions than the consumer has against the oil companies at the pump.
Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey. Opponents say the bill is too vague to be enforceable. The White House says it would be vetoed if it passes the Senate. Monica Goodling, the Justice Department's former liaison with the White House, told Congress today that Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty was not fully candid when he testified about the firings of eight federal prosecutors.
I think in some ways he simply didn't communicate all that he knew. And I'm certainly not saying that he did it deliberately.
For her part, Goodling admitted she crossed the line when she used political considerations in evaluating candidates for career jobs in the Justice Department. Iraqi police have found a body in the Euphrates River and say it was one of the American soldiers abducted 11 days ago, and reportedly a second body was found in the same area. U.S. military officials have not confirmed the identities. The commander-in-chief made a speech today arguing that Iraq is part of the war on terrorism.
While President Bush often warns of Iranian and other foreign involvement in Iraq, he has used this speech to frame the war as a fight between the U.S. and al-Qaeda.
Victory in Iraq is important for Osama bin Laden, and victory in Iraq is vital for the United States of America.
At the Coast Guard Academy, Mr. Bush tied the warning of an al-Qaeda threat in Iraq to a stepped-up defense of his troop surge there. Mr. Bush pointed to intelligence, some of it previously revealed, to contend Osama bin Laden hopes to use Iraq as a base to strike U.S. targets. Peter Mayer, CBS News, New London, Connecticut.
In winter, it's snowstorms. In summer, it's thunderstorms that keep airliners on the ground. But this year, CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports the FAA will try something new.
The government plans to give more airlines more flexibility when the weather gets bad.
We were giving airlines the choice of accepting either an expected delayed departure or take a longer route around the storm.
FAA Administrator Marion Blakey says that could help reduce waiting time on the ground.
Anything is an improvement.
Nancy McKinley represents the people in the seats.
Hopefully they'll give better information to the passengers so that they'll know what is going on. Information is crucial.
She says the new system gives airlines more power to avoid lengthy delays. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before, so remember, always buckle up or you will get caught, day and night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We all have some place we need to go, and Goodyear Tires can help you get there. And right now, during the Goodyear Get There Tire event, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card with the purchase of a set of four select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. The Goodyear Get There Tire event, going on now. Goodyear, get there. Offer ends 5/28/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Purchases made on the Goodyear credit card are subject to credit approval.
It's a boy. This morning, Vice President Cheney's daughter Mary gave birth to Samuel
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show. The antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you...
We're going to talk about a little fire, a little brimstone this hour. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., based in San Francisco. And joining me in our secret studio today is the author of a powerful new book called American Fascists, The Christian Right, and The War on America, Chris Hedges. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks.
We've talked by phone before. It's great to see you in person. Thanks for coming to this undisclosed location. You won't tell anybody where you are, right?
I don't even know where I am.
Oh, good. That's why we had a driver bring you here.
I was brought blindfold in the back seat.
Yeah? Okay, good. Well, that secret is safe. I just want to start off with two words. Jerry Falwell. He shows up pretty often in your book.
Yeah. Well, Falwell was a major figure, very important figure in articulating this new political religion that called for the assumption of political power. He and Pat Robertson, back in the early 1980s, were two of the most vocal and instrumental figures in a movement that has moved in the last three decades from the fringes of American society to the corridors of power.
The politicization of religion or the religionization of politics? Is it both?
I don't look at this movement, and let's be clear, I'm not going after evangelicals or fundamentalists. I don't come from that tradition, but I recognize the religious legitimacy of those belief systems. This is a movement, while we use words, traditional language, both traditional Christian language and terms like evangelical and fundamentalist to describe them, is a movement that is new and different, something we've not seen on the American landscape going all the way back to the Great Awakening of 1740.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fusion of Christian iconography and Christian language with the iconography and language of American nationalism. I watched that in the former Yugoslavia. I was the Balkan bureau chief there
for
the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous and toxic mix. That's what fundamentalist groups that employ violence and strive to take power, groups such as Hamas or Hezbollah, do.
You spent many years in the Middle East.
Seven years in the Middle East. I was the Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. And so drawing on those two elements that you just described, the Middle East and the former Yugoslavia, where are we on the path to conflict based on religious fundamentals?
Very far down the road. And I think that the rise of the radical Christian right, which I see as the most dangerous mass movement in American history, parallels the rise of the ethnic nationalist movements in Yugoslavia. Very similar tactics, very similar rhetoric. Delegitimization of whole sections of your own society. This is a binary worldview of us and them. This is an ideology that teaches neighbor to hate neighbor, which is essentially what the ethnic nationalist parties did in the former Yugoslavia. It is poisoning the civil discourse and tearing apart the society, because believers who are now locked in these hermetically sealed systems of indoctrination through Christian radio and television, Christian schools, believe that some people are essentially expelled from moral consideration because they have not submitted to this belief system. And you hear it in the rhetoric that if you are not a follower, if you're not what they term a Bible-believing Christian, you are in the grip of Satan. You are a demonic force within the society. And
you're not qualified to serve in the Bush administration.
You're not qualified. No, I think the Bush administration is filled with them.
No, I meant if you don't answer yes to those questions when Monica Goodling asks, then you are not qualified.
Yeah, no, that's very frightening.
Yeah.
And, these people are... have both the Christian schools and the homeschooling movement are funneled into universities like Regent University or Falwell's Liberty University or Patrick mm-hmm. Henry University. And we now see, of course, funneled directly into the Bush administration. And these are people who are not taught to think. They're taught to obey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually use the word fascist in the title of my book lightly. I think that this is a movement that when you pick apart the ideological pillars, bears within it the seeds of a religious fascism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it bears many similarities with classical fascist movements that we saw, in Europe in the 1930s.
And the F word is not well understood by contemporary Americans. Define what you mean by fascism in America.
Well, the problem is that the word has historical. It brings up sort of images of swastikas and brown shirts and Mussolini.
Yeah.
But when you look at the scholars of totalitarianism and fascism, people like Hannah Arendt, Karl Popper, Fritz Stern in his books The Politics of Cultural Despair, Robert O. Paxton's The Anatomy of Fascism, these are people who've tried to explain the generic components of fascism. And as Paxton, for instance, points out in his book, even between Italian and German fascism, there were vast differences. They were not the same animal. But there are qualities, and I begin the book by quoting 14 points that the Italian writer Umberto Eco lists for what he considers to be eternal fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that right up front because I want the reader to understand what the components of fascism are and match them against the ideology which I've spent 2 years reporting out of this movement.
Mm-hmm. And so have you gotten much pushback? Jimmy Carter got really beaten up for using the term apartheid. You and I discussed that on a previous interview on this program relative to the issues of the Middle East. Is fascism such a loaded term? Are you in the sights of the right-wing talk shows and their media partners in print?
Not as much as I had expected. I had done a cover story for Harper's Magazine a couple years ago where I used this word in the article. And there was a pretty virulent reaction on the part of, you know, the people you would expect, James Dobson, Pat Robertson, Rush Limbaugh. This time around, while they've certainly gone after me, I mean, on Dobson's website, and it's been fairly muted, which is interesting. And I suspect partly because they don't want to draw. I mean, these people are very media savvy, and they probably don't want to draw attention to too many of their critics, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not been. I expected more of a backlash, I guess.
Yeah.
Although the book has sold very well, I expected a more virulent backlash.
Glad to hear that. Now, as you were talking a moment ago about other incidences of fascism, the Middle East and the former Yugoslavia, I'm thinking, and this is an imperfect metaphor or connection perhaps, but in Turkey, we have recently had very huge demonstrations to promote secularism as the national policy. And this, of course, goes back to Ataturk and the end of the empire there, the Ottoman Empire, and their desire to separate Islam from the political apparatus of the state. Are we moving in a direction where secularists in the United States are going to have to become more vocal, become more active? Because in many respects, the secularists just assume that their rights are protected, that there will be sufficient tolerance, and I think that may not be a safe assumption anymore.
I would agree with you. I think it's not a safe assumption. And you know, it's that line from Yeats, the best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity. I think, you know, there does come a moment, as Karl Popper writes in The Open Society and Its Enemies, when you should not tolerate the intolerant, and when you do tolerate the intolerant, eventually the tolerant will disappear and tolerance along with them. You know, these are forces that have as their open goal the destruction of our open society and the destruction of American democracy. And unfortunately, we have welcomed them into the political arena. And again, going back to the former Yugoslavia, it was exactly the same attempt on the part of more enlightened Yugoslavs who thought that they could domesticate Slobodan Milosevic. And these people are willing to make compromises until, of course, they achieve enough power when they don't have to make compromises. The fact that, you know, there's been a clear violation of the Constitution on the part of this administration in terms of, you know, just the faith-based initiative, giving hundreds of millions, you know, perhaps up to $2 billion to groups that practice openly discrimination based on sexual orientation and belief, that peddle pseudoscience, whether that's abstinence in schools or creationism, that, as we saw, as you mentioned earlier, Peter, with the Monica Goodling, you know, scandal, where, you know, our, you know, the chief law enforcement agent, the chief law enforcement officials in the country are being put into power based on a litmus test in terms of their ideological belief. I mean, that's extreme. That is really, these are serious undermining of the very pillars of the pluralistic democratic state. And unfortunately, what I fear is that by the time they've sort of garnered enough power and enough influence, it's going to be too late.
Chris Hedges is our guest. His new book, American Fascists, is subtitled The Christian Right and the War on America. I think he chose those words very carefully, and in our next segment I want to talk about the war metaphor and how it is used by Christians as they proselytize and convert people to their faith. If you have a question or comment, Chris Hedges is with us this entire hour. You can call in now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. If you're listening later, like in Portland, why don't you send me an email? Let me know what you think. Peter at peterbcollins.com. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Yo. Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty
Scotty Dick,
every
everybody.
It's
Scotty Dick.
I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local
Show.
Personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it. And your
That's
info
all
is safe with
Scotty
me.
Dick Show.
I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say,
bon appétit.
Well, bon appetit with Tropicon. Yes, indeed. There's my weak Julia Child's impersonation. And I'll tell you what, we got a Capitola problem. It's northbound 1 after 41st Avenue. Three-vehicle crash in the center divide area. Then we're going to look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emma Line. Of course, the off-ramp closed 24 hours a day for road work that's scheduled through at least December 21st. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about Salinas West Market Street between in both directions, between Salinas Street and Market Circle. The right lane is closed from 6 a.m. to just about 4 p.m., so things there have just wrapped up as far as construction work is concerned. Also going to let you know that this will take place tomorrow again from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. A support brought to you by the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Come celebrate 100 years at the admission-free Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, open daily starting May 25th.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest this entire hour is Chris Hedges. His new book is called American Fascists, The Christian Right, and The War on America. Take a listen to this.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
That's Roy Zimmerman. And it's called Defenders of Marriage. You can check out Roy's act at royzimmerman.com. He does great parody tunes. And I played that, Chris Hedges, because the Christian right has, in my view, changed the priorities that Jesus enunciated when he was here on earth and is recorded in the New Testament. And it's become a morality play that's about your sexuality, about your choices, and whether or not they match those of people who present themselves as Christian leaders. And this is one of those fundamental shifts that I have a really hard time with. What's the backstory here? Are these people really so focused on these issues, or are they simply political tools that they find extremely effective?
They're not just political tools. They're tools about control. What they have done is create a paradigm or a structure that they say is God-given. When they talk about the structure of the family, it is always with the dominant male, the subservient woman, and the obedient children. That power structure is replicated within the megachurches, where you have a strong cult of personality built around these preachers, which is why oftentimes these institutions collapse once these people die, leave, or are forced off the stage because of scandal. These people claim to be in touch with God, to speak for God. There is no questioning, no doubt. Any questioning is a form of heresy, a form of backsliding. And that power structure is to be replicated within the community and within the nation. When you throw in ambiguity, especially sexual ambiguity, which is essentially what you have when you permit the possibility of gay marriage, that power structure that they're working so hard to force down everyone's throats evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they can't stand the possibility of gay relationships or gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say that this is a power structure that is anointed by God. And remember, these people, you know, the Pat Robertsons, the Benny Hinns, the Rod Parsleys of the world, claim their power directly from God, claim to be anointed by God. And so this is really a threat to a particular structure that has worked quite well for them in creating obedient and subservient followers.
We're talking with Chris Hedges here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Anthony joins us from Eureka. Go ahead, Anthony. You're on the air.
Yes, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Chris.
You got to talk right into that phone, Anthony.
I did it. I mentioned the Dominionists yesterday that Chris was talking about, the neoconservative Dominionists, the militaristic imperialists, the corporate Dominionists, the transglobals, the evangelical Dominionists, Zionist Dominionists, and Islamist Dominionists. I'd like to nuance this conversation, Chris, by bringing in the notion of their mentality, ideology, and psychology. Because I think the mentality has been transformed, human mentality has been transformed by ideology and theology into criminal psychopathological sociopathology.
That's very interesting. Now let's start off with Dominionism, or just the term dominion. Chris, how do you define that?
Well, your caller, I think, actually employs a very important term. These people are not traditional evangelicals or traditional fundamentalists. Traditional fundamentalists called on believers to remove themselves from the contaminants of secular society, to shun political involvement. Traditional evangelicals, people like Billy Graham or Louis Palau, who's out here on the West Coast, always talked about getting right with God, not about assuming political power. What we saw in the early 1970s was a group of people built around an eccentric and bizarre figure named J. Roussas Rashtuni, who wrote the Institutes of Biblical Law, in which he talks about Christians taking control of the government, of the secular state, as well as secular institutions. And they draw that term from the book of Genesis, where God gives humankind dominion over creation. And that's what these people are. They're dominionists. They're not evangelicals, and they're not fundamentalists. And although we still, you know, use that those words to describe them, I think it is an important distinction and one that gets to the heart of what it is they're trying to do.
Anthony, you can follow up just about 20 seconds.
Well, I want to emphasize this psychological component. If they do have a psychological diagnosis, is the resolution of a psychological treatment or cure, democracy, we're being frustrated politically and in the House and Senate, Chris.
Well, I think, and I argue in my book that the engine of this movement is personal and economic despair. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that after the break.
We're going to take a break here and return. Anthony, thank you for your call today. Lines are open if you'd like to join us with Chris Hedges for the remainder of this hour. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. From San Francisco, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the next constitutional frontier. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I speak, of course, of office gossip.
Without any type of advance notice, in a private meeting from which the minutes still have not been made public, the council fired them.
Attorney B.J. Branch, representing four former town employees of Hooksett, New Hampshire. His clients have now gone national as the Hooksett Four. They stand as symbols of free speech, contending they were unjustly fired for spreading a rumor about their boss, the town supervisor.
This was not something that the four of us were discussing among ourselves and creating a rumor.
No, in fact, Michelle Bonsteel says that she and the other three fired women actually dismissed the rumor, which was that the town supervisor's girlfriend, who also worked at town hall, was getting superior job evaluations for reasons having nothing to do with performance. They decided, no, the rumor wasn't true, not a bit of it, except, well, their attorney admits that one of his clients did call the town supervisor, quote, a little bleep, using a term to describe a person who enjoys intimacy a little too much. But that was only once, behind closed doors, and she was on her lunch break at the time. Of course, the official reason the four were fired is not for gossiping, but for insubordination, dishonesty, unsuitability, and interfering with the administration of town government. I don't know who's right here, but it does sound a lot like high school, doesn't it? And proves again that we all get older, but we don't all grow up. Now this.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From May 24th to the 28th, save 30% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. The Memorial Day sale ends Monday, May 28th. For painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes after the hour. My guest is writer Chris Hedges. He has a distinguished career, worked for the New York Times for many years, including bureau chief in the former Yugoslavia and in the Middle East. His new book is a powerful one, American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. It's out in hardcover from Free Press. Pick it up at your local independent bookstore. British blues man Chris Rea, and that's called The Road to Hell. Does it pass through Lynchburg or Roanoke, Virginia, Chris Hedges?
Well, I think it's crisscrossing the country at this point.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking right before the break, or we began to talk about despair.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller, you know, mentioned the rise of the corporate state. I think that's key. I think that the engine of this movement is despair. Both personal and economic. We've disenfranchised the working class. 9% of jobs in this country are now in the manufacturing sector. That's the lowest percentage since the Industrial Revolution.
Germans gave up on Chrysler and in a ransom of Red Chief,
yeah.
paid somebody to take it off their hands.
And the consequences of that for especially former manufacturing centers is devastating. I mean, there are parts of this country, you know, especially areas such as the Rust Belt that now resemble the developing world. Of course, what has accompanied that is a slashing of state and federal assistance. Jobs have not been brought into those communities that compare with, you know, what you were getting in a steel mill in terms of wages and benefits, health insurance, job security. These communities are crumbling. My family comes from the mill towns in Maine. They're just down, you know, the downtowns are boarded up wrecks, pothole streets, and then...
Yeah, but you can get a Starbucks on any corner.
Well, we don't even have a Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, with all the attendant problems, that domestic abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, broken homes, you know, the list goes on and on. And I think what's become so frightening is that, you know, many of these people realize there's no hope. There's no hope that that kind of a lifestyle or those kind of jobs are going to come back. And there's no hope for their children. And when you essentially have a situation where, you know, the American, a kind of Weimarization of the American working class, You thrust people into the arms of demagogues and charlatans who promise them a world of magic,
mm-hmm.
and miracles, that, you know, God has a plan for them and Jesus will take care of them. And that alliance between these demagogues and con artists, people like Falwell or Robertson and others, and the neoconservatives and the corporate elite is very frightening. You know, Paxton, in his book, Anatomy of Fascism, writes that there's no such thing as a purely fascist movement, that fascist movements, unlike communist movements, always make alliances with traditional conservatives and an industrial elite. And that's what you have. That's why you have like Sam's Club and Walmart, and they will put these evangelical chaplains into their plants because this kind of religion is an opiate, to steal a line from Marx.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe that all you have to do is get right with Jesus, then it doesn't matter if your job is outsourced or you don't have health insurance. And I think that with the rise of the corporate state and the American oligarchy, you know, it becomes harder and harder for us to sustain a democracy. Oligarchic states cannot be democratic states. I mean, the writers on Athenian democracy all the way back to Plutarch and Thucydides knew this. And that is the engine of this movement. And until we re-enfranchise these people, and now, of course, we're seeing an assault on the middle class. Anything that can be put on software can and is being outsourced. You know, we're creating a sort of upper tier, one-third managerial elite, and two-thirds of the rest of the country are rapidly becoming serfs. The federal government has been taken hostage by corporations. Government is the only institution powerful enough to represent the interest of citizens. It no longer represents our interests. It represents the interests of the corporate state.
Your name is Hedges, but you clearly don't have a piece of any hedge funds.
No.
Chris Hedges, I want to take you to the chapter of your book called Conversion. You describe the Evangelism Explosion Workshop that you attended. We must write and rewrite our personal testimonies and practice delivering them in front of our assigned prayer partners who critique them according to the manual. The testimony is an illustration to the non-believer that the converted are absolutely certain of eternal life and have been freed from all human anxieties. The testimony, we're told by our instructor, must state explicitly that the fear of death has been banished forever. We must describe moments in our lives when death appeared certain and we felt at peace and certain of eternal life. The testimony has to stress and repeat this total certitude of our belief in eternal life and freedom from fear. We turn our testimonies in for correction by the instructors to make sure our essays have not deviated from the two approved outlines of conversion. And we write them, or we rewrite them when they come back with errors marked in red. And what you're describing here is not a casual approach or something that's just relying on divine inspiration or intervention, but the calculated way, and an often the dishonest way, that Christians recruit other people to join their ranks is something that you pull the curtain back on in your book.
Well, you know, I didn't have a very favorable view of this process of drawing people into the movement to begin with, but even I was stunned at how callous, cruel, and mendacious the process was. After spending a week at Coral Ridge Ministry in this seminar that you mentioned called Evangelism Explosion, where we are, actually I was being taught to be an instructor to go back and teach people the techniques of conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And the passage you read is illustrative of what it is they're promising. They're saying, we offer you the possibility of banishing the deepest and most existential dreads of human existence. You know, in the workbook, which I mentioned in this chapter, they cite examples, and one of them is, my son died in Vietnam, but he was a Bible-believing Christian, and I don't grieve for him because I know he's in heaven, and I'm 100% certain I'll be in heaven with him. The instructors in this course were quite upfront about targeting people who are vulnerable, people who are new to a neighborhood, people who are suffering, have just gone through a divorce, are suffering periods of grief, financial difficulties, and the technique of sending three or four people in to speak with these people who you're trying to lure into the movement bears, you know, it is the same kind of technique that the cults use. I mean, Margaret Singer calls it love bombing, where mm-hmm. where you focus intensely on this person. Everything they say fascinates you. They themselves are intriguing and interesting, and you build false friendships, and you invite them down to your church. And in that process, you withdraw them from whatever community they're in, and, of course, usher them into your community. And I think one of the things that I found in this movement is that, you know, while it talks so much about family, it is the great destroyer of families. And at this evangelism explosion, as at many events, when it came time for pray, and by the way, prayer groups were, I realized, having been assigned one in this group, a form of control. Mm-hmm. If you were out getting a coffee, they would turn to a member of your prayer group and go, well, where's Chris? Why isn't he here? And people would get up at moments of prayer and in deeply emotional weeping for unsaved family members, unsaved children, unsaved spouses. Because what happens is that as you're absorbed into the the community of the church. You're given, you're called, actually, the term is it, a baby Christian. You're given somebody, a discipler, or somebody who is more experienced in the ways of the Lord, who tells you how to think, what is right and wrong in the eyes of God. And it consumes all of your religious time, your recreational time, your educational time, and it cuts you off from your old community. But, of course, those members, even in your own family, who are unsaved, are no longer part of that community, well, even your children.
And, Chris Hedges, as you're describing this and you referenced Margaret Singer, I came to San Francisco 31 years ago. There were Moonies on virtually every corner selling flowers. I interviewed Dr. Singer, and she described the techniques they used as quite parallel to brainwashing or coercive persuasion, that when you were recruited by the Moonies, you were sent up to Boonville, to the ranch there, never left alone, never permitted to really think for yourself. And it was all very structured groupthink and top-down delivery of messages. And as you just described these contemporary Christian groups, the techniques are a little bit more polished, but the strategies and the tactics are not dissimilar.
No, they're very similar. There is a cult-like quality, and again, that gets back to this cult of personality, which we mentioned earlier, which, of course, is what cults have. I went to many of these mega churches, but there's no liturgy. It's usually some guy. I was at a church in Fort Lauderdale where Pastor Bob was seated on a stool. 10,000 people at each service, and he runs three or four services. And it is all, and it's attractive, especially to people who have been struggling with financial difficulties or personal despair, because it removes the anxiety of moral choice, which is probably one of the fundamental anxieties of human existence.
Mm-hmm.
You're told what is right and wrong. You don't have to think anymore. You just have to obey. And that's attractive, especially to people who come out of chaotic and disruptive family situations or whose lives have been messy and anarchic, as many have. I mean, what we have done, unfortunately, very well in this country is destroy community physically. I don't think it's accidental that the two major growth areas of this movement come out of the former manufacturing centers, where a community has been physically destroyed, and the exurbs, places like Orange County, which never had a community to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
No community center, no community rituals, frequently not even sidewalks, people living in, economically they're better off. Usually, although even that now is sort of going down the tubes. They live in sort of big, soulless, empty houses and spend probably 3 or 4 hours a day in a car getting to offices, wondering whether, the next round of cuts is going to see them tossed out the door. And I think what the common denominator is that that solitude, or what Hannah Arendt calls that atomization, that complete sense of sort of loneliness and isolation, that happens in modern society.
One of the analytical angles that you employ in the book American Fascists is looking at the way these religious evangelicals use masculinity and male dominance, the patriarchal structure. And as I was reading it, I was thinking about George Lakoff and his analysis of the neocons' political juggernaut, which is focused on the strict father model, as he describes it. And to what extent do you think that Bush and Rove consciously saw this and said, this is our route to power? We get the corporatists with tax cuts and the country club Republicans with those issues with economics. But the real base that this administration has served and serviced so assiduously is the religious right. And I'm curious if you believe that they really connected with that on an intellectual basis and understand what they're doing, or if it's more visceral.
Karl Rove clearly understands. I don't think Bush understands much. Bush is more, Bush is a bridge figure because he comes out of the oligarchy, yet he himself fits the profile of the believer. I mean, pretty much a washout until the age of 40, clearly an alcoholic, probably, as far as we can tell, an abuser of cocaine and other illegal substances, You know, the only way he was sort of kept afloat was through his father's business connections. And so he was a wonderful figure to push out front because he came out of both worlds. These people are, you know, these people like Dobson or Rove, I mean, they're very well-educated, smart, sophisticated, and cold, dark, cynical, even sinister figures. They're not, you know, they know very, very well what they're doing. I mean, Dobson himself, of course, is a psychologist. He, you know, they understand the tactics of manipulation, and they've used that despair to amass tremendous wealth and tremendous power.
We're going to continue in just a moment with Chris Hedges. The new book is called American Fascists, subtitled The Christian Right and the War on America. There's room for another call or two if you are burned to join us with a comment. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Conspiracy issues bother you? Want to learn more about a subject of interest? ConspiracyCon.com, the conference, is this Saturday and Sunday at San Jose Doubletree Inn. 9/11 World Trade Center, International Monetary System. Over 10 controversial lecturers will be speaking. ConspiracyCon.com, San Jose Doubletree Inn, or call 383-2676 for rideshare. ConspiracyCon.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All right, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. Going to start off with a problem in San Jose that's causing quite a big problem. And it's northbound 101 at Bailey. All lanes remain shut down there. Again, northbound 101 at Bailey, all lanes shut down. Well, the reason, an earlier grass fire, and it's actually a vehicle fire that spread into the hillside. Both fires are now out. CHP is still diverting traffic off of Cochrane, and it is slow from 10. Southbound 101 is extremely slow approaching the scene there. Also want to take a look at a problem. CHP did tell us about a problem in Santa Cruz, and it's just regarding, actually, let's forget about that because we have a new problem just coming in. It's northbound 17, just after the Cats restaurant. Stall vehicle blocking the right lane there. And this report brought to you by the makers of Maximum Strength, Zantax.
The Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco, and here at my secret studio, Chris Hedges has joined us today.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back with thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very, and the way it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers.
new book from Chris Hedges is called American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. One thing I don't think we quite touched on is the use of war metaphors in Christian proselytizing. Talk a little bit about that. You describe it well in the book.
The language, they employ the language of war constantly. In the chapter we just discussed on conversion, D. James Kennedy talks about, you know, keeping a small Bible in your pocket and not pulling it out. Don't show them the gun before you have to use it. Sexual metaphors, by the way, interestingly enough, are also filtered through their talk. But it is, the people who are sort of wrapped in the embrace of that movement are disempowered in many ways. But in one way, they're not disempowered. They are given a moral license to hate and even embrace violence against people who are considered a threat to the Christian nation or to Christians. That would be homosexuals, Muslims, anybody who is seen as hostile to the rise of the Christian state. They constantly are describing the war in Iraq as a crusade, as a sort of harbinger of the mayhem and apocalyptic violence that will come with the rapture and Armageddon. I mean, I think fundamentally this is a theology of despair. It's not a theology that offers hope.
And the Left Behind series, Tim LaHaye's books about the rapture, is that just a populist thing? I mean, it could have been the Thornbirds, or is that really an indication that people are embracing this idea that the end is near?
They are embracing it, and it has a kind of pornographic quality in terms of the depictions or descriptions of violence. It's very disturbing. And what are they saying? They're saying nothing in this world is worth saving. The greatest moment in human history will come at the end of history, when the earth is destroyed and all those people who were against us are destroyed with them, which is what they deserve. And we, in this bizarre spiritual Darwinism, are lifted up into heaven naked and enter the utopia. That's not a very hopeful vision of what's going to happen to the planet or the human race. And, of course, all the signposts of disaster from global warming to wars in the Middle East are welcomed because that gets us closer to the end of time.
Yeah, we're getting closer. Closer all the time. Bill in Cleveland, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Chris Hedges.
Hi, guys. Calling from Cleveland, Ohio. You know, last year we had...
My condolences. I'm from Cincinnati, Bill, so I can say that. Go ahead.
Well, we have a new board in the Board of Elections in Cleveland in Cuyahoga County, so that's a good thing. But last year, known Dominionist Ken Blackwell ran for governor, and was shocking to me was that he got like 40% of the vote. And he was involved with a group called the Patriot Pastors, and it's a church group down south of Columbus. And I'd like to have Mr. Hedges comment a little bit of that, and I'll listen over the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Well, I went to one of the Patriot Pastors' rallies in Dayton and found it very disturbing. Blackwell spoke there. It's clearly the mobilization of these church. Rod Parsley, of course, operates out of Ohio to support candidates and, people defined as Christian candidates. And what they did at this rally was trot out this sort of squeaky clean choir to sing militant hymns and patriotic songs while they showed videotapes of the war in Iraq. They had a huge American flag with a Christian cross superimposed on it, another flag, American flag, with the picture of George Washington with a sword kneeling superimposed on it. But for sort of, goons with armbands, it had all the hallmarks of a kind of fascist or totalitarian rally. I found it deeply frightening.
Steve in Watsonville, you're next. Join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm on?
You're on. Steve.
Sorry, the delay. I wanted to ask, it's Chris, right?
That's right.
I read your review in People's Daily World. I really want to read your book, but sorry, I can't afford it right now.
Well, then I'll tell you what, Steve. We'll send you a copy.
Let me get my question out. Would you agree that Ratzinger represents, within the Catholic Church, the kind of an Italo-German faction that is the equivalent of these Dominionists over here? That there's been effectively a takeover of the Catholic Church.
And for people who don't have a scorecard, Ratzinger is the current Pope, Benedict the 16th.
Correct.
I think that's
a
little...
He's a former Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah. I dealt with Ratzinger in Central America. I covered the wars in Nicaragua and Guatemala and El Salvador in the early 1980s when he was the Pope's hatchet man and was down there purging all the way down to the parish level against people who he condemned as liberation theologians, but
Ignatius
in fact were...
Ignatius Telecuria, for instance.
Yeah, was anybody with a social conscience at all. And really devastated the Latin American church, which had traditionally in many cases been on the side of the oligarchy. He returned it to the control of the oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are movements within the Catholic Church that have embraced this dominionism, groups such as Priests for Life, for instance. And there are conservative elements of the church. Ratzinger, I wouldn't go quite that far. I mean, remember that there are issues that are embraced by the Vatican, such as an opposition to the death penalty, an open opposition to the war in Iraq, that don't fit with the calls of American nationalism and American exclusivity that is embraced by this movement.
Chris Hedges, this is a delightful hour. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
We'll talk again. The new book is American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. We've been speaking with Chris Hedges. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, archived at peterbcollins.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Two U.S. aircraft carriers and other warships made a show of force in the Persian Gulf today, but CBS News has learned the United States is also confronting Iran covertly. Correspondent Sheila McVicker reports U.S. intelligence and allied intelligence agencies are working to sabotage Iran's nuclear program.
Iran is vulnerable to industrial sabotage because it is prohibited from buying what it wants on the open market. Instead, it has turned to the black market, focusing efforts to obtain high technology in Western Europe. Iranian agents working from the consulate in Frankfurt, Germany, have shipped home banned components using the protection and secrecy of diplomatic bags. In Dubai, Iran has established a shifting network of front companies.
Western operatives have sold Iran components with difficult-to-detect flaws, making them unstable or unusable. The International Atomic Energy Agency reported today that Iran continues to enrich uranium in defiance of the UN. The Food and Drug Administration says it's checking all shipments of toothpaste imported from China. It's a precaution. Some Chinese toothpaste sold in Panama and the Dominican Republic was found to be contaminated with a lethal chemical. It's not immediately clear which U.S. brands are made in China. Trying to do something about gasoline prices, the House took a largely symbolic vote today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It won't help when you fill up your tank this weekend, but House members vented some anger at the high price of gas by passing a bill to impose big fines or even jail time for price gouging on natural gas, home heating oil, or gasoline. It would punish those who take advantage of conditions to impose unconscionably excessive prices. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey says that happens.
The oil companies have the consumer over a barrel.
A barrel of oil.
The bill would let the Federal Trade Commission investigate price gouging, but the Bush administration wants no part of it. And if this passes the Senate, the White House says expect a veto. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Customers of Baltimore Gas and Electric are in for a shock. Maryland regulators have approved the utility's transition to market rates, meaning power bills for homes will jump 50% effective Friday. Just in time for the summer travel season, the Federal Aviation Administration is expanding the use of a computer program to help minimize flight delays during storms. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes explains.
What this new software does is give the FAA the flexibility to identify which flights might go through bad weather, and then gives the airlines the flexibility once they know that they'll be impacted to decide. Do they want to go around the bad weather? Do they want to go above it? Or do they want to just wait it out? In the past, that wasn't an option many times. The FAA would just institute a ground stop and all flights would be grounded.
The Dow 14 points lower today, closing at 13,525. The NASDAQ down 10 points. This is CBS News.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From May 24th to the 28th, save 30% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. The Memorial Day sale ends Monday, May 28th. For painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
More Americans are traveling abroad, and more American travelers need passports these days, and the State Department's working overtime to keep up with demand. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has the story.
The State Department says you should expect a three-month wait to get your passport this summer, and long lines like the one this man encountered in Houston.
I said, where do we get in line? He said, it's outside underneath the freeway.
Officials say 3 million passports were issued in March and April, setting a new record.
I got it today! I finally got it today!
The State Department says demand is up by about a third over last year. All travelers now need passports just to go to Canada or Caribbean countries that used to accept birth certificates or driver's licenses. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
If you pay extra, you can get a passport in 2 to 3 weeks. Officials say 13% of applications are delayed because of simple mistakes like not signing the form. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, Cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by 4 trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour where your calls and comments are welcome. You want to talk? I want to listen. And I'll probably talk right back. That's how it works. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free, 888-573-8372.
Nobody's perfect, not even a perfect stranger. Oh, what a gal, she was such a perfect stranger. And you're the best in your field. In your office, with your girls and desk and leather chair.
Chrissy High and the Pretenders, Time is the Avenger. That's the name of that tune. Joining us right now is Antonio Yuhas. It's Antonia, not Antonio. That kind of slips out sometimes. And she's the author of the powerful book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World Economy, One at a Time. Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. I think I've got that right now. Antonia, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
Nice to talk with you again. And Antonia is also a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington. And she is currently on a train using her cell phone. The reception's really good. So we'll stay with it as long as we can. Antonia, I wanted to get the latest from you because you and I have had a number of conversations over the last few months, including one where we paired you up with Raed Jarar, who is an Iraqi. About the continuing plans and the pressure from the United States to split up all of that oil that Iraq is sitting on. Some people seem to think it's our oil and it's our right to split it up.
That's right. We've been now talking about this, it feels like, for about 4 years, almost as long as the Bush administration has been planning it. And essentially, it's, you know, when you look at a war being waged for oil, and you ask, well, if you fight a war for oil, how do you then get the oil? This is the how. It's a policy plan that the Bush administration has had in the works since they took office to put in a new government in Iraq and have the new government pass a new oil law that essentially transforms Iraq from a nationalized oil system closed to U.S. oil companies to a privatized oil system and open to U.S. oil corporations. And the oil law became public most prominently in the United States when President Bush in January announced the surge of troops into Iraq, and also announced on that same day a benchmark for Iraq, which was that it needed to pass this oil law. And essentially that benchmark has now been adopted by the Democrats in their language in the Supplemental War Spending Bill. And that benchmark
That's okay. It's live from a train. We understand.
That benchmark essentially says to the Iraqis, you need to turn over your oil to U.S. oil companies or else. And it's shocking to me that the Democrats have adopted this language, but that's, you know, where we stand right now today with the debate over the law's passage.
Now, as we're speaking, the Democrats have thrown in the proverbial towel and what is expected to surface this week before the Memorial Day break is what Bush has demanded, a clean bill from his perspective. And so the timelines, the benchmarks are essentially being discarded. But I agree with you that in this process, the Democrats, in attempting to rein in the president and get him to change policy, have embraced this idea. And I'm sure that you've been active in trying to talk to individual Democratic legislators. Do they understand the significance of this so-called benchmark?
Well, let me ask you, because the last time I checked, which was a few hours ago, the benchmarks were still in there. So are the benchmarks now out? Last I saw, the timeline was out.
Right.
The timeline was thrown out. The benchmarks were in, but with a potential waiver for the president.
Well, I am not up to speed on exactly where the debate is. And as we're speaking, my understanding that the Democrats have agreed to remove that language because they got, of course, the veto of the first bill. And the president then softened his position and said that, I guess benchmarks are acceptable. But as I understand it, the Democrats have decided to remove even that language, and I'll stand corrected once we see the final bill.
Yeah. It's an important question, definitely for listeners to contact their representatives now to find out and to demand, because this is the key question. Is the U.S. Congress going to demand of the Iraqis that they pass these benchmarks? And it's become fairly ludicrous that it's been a back and forth between the president saying, "Oh gosh, well maybe on the benchmarks," when the benchmarks are his. They were announced by Bush, they were written by Bush, and they're his benchmarks. The question is simply, I think, how it's come out in the debate is, are Democrats going to make it a condition of war funding? And I think what the Bush administration is probably very aware of is that there's a tremendous amount of Iraqi resistance, of course, to this law, and that there's no guarantee that he's going to get this law passed in Iraq by September, which is the length of the spending bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why he would be hesitant to have those benchmarks in there. Essentially, the administration has spent, as I said, 4 years trying to get this law through in Iraq and has thus far been unsuccessful. And now that has been under tremendous pressure by the administration, by the U.S. Former ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, who has really been the key player in pushing this law on the ground in Iraq, through the military surge, which I believe had everything to do with adding pressure and trying to create, very mistakenly, some breathing room for the parliamentarians to actually get together and pass the law. The exact opposite happened, of course. Things have become far more dangerous in Iraq and far more dangerous for the parliamentarians themselves. And the most important thing has been, so public education has spread from the United States to Europe, from Iraq to the United States, from the United States to Iraq. Information has been shared about this law, and the more that the information has grown, the more the sort of veil has been lifted, exposing this not as how the president has discussed it and how the mainstream media has discussed it as a, quote, revenue-sharing plan for Iraq's oil, but rather the revenue-sharing component is literally three sentences of a 40-page bill. The rest of the bill turns Iraq's oil revenues over to U.S. oil companies, and that reality is becoming more firmly understood. And I think that, Congressman Dennis Kucinich and the U.S. Congress has certainly done the most to try and expose that reality here. Today he spent an hour on the House floor just talking about the oil law, trying to get his fellow elected officials to embrace the reality of what this oil law is about. And we have done protests at corporate headquarters in the United States, in Europe, in London, in Italy. Iraq's oil workers threatened to protest against the oil law. Definitely a lot has been happening.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Antonia Juhas here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Antonia, putting aside the benchmark question, we have two issues here that either amount to negligence or something much worse. And that is, as you pointed out, the media and the Democratic opposition to the war in the House appears to have soft-pedaled the issues about the sharing of Iraq's oil with multinational oil companies and focused exclusively on what I would call the trickle-down part, which is trying to make sure that some of the minority factions in the complex makeup of Iraq get their fair share of oil revenues. But that's just the revenues that flow to the central government, and the media and political leaders gloss over the incredible way that this plan is going to really deny whatever government does survive in Baghdad control over the natural resources of that country.
Right. I mean, this law was a long time in coming, and it's been very, very carefully drafted by the Bush administration, by oil corporations, through lobbying groups such as the International Tax and Investment Center, ITIC, through U.S. officials, and particularly Zalmay Khalilzad, as I said, and also Bearing Point, another U.S. company who had an advisor on the ground in Iraq advising on this law. Iraq's oil ministers, after the oil law passed the Iraqi cabinet in February, Iraq's oil ministers were then sent on a fact-finding tour to get more information about different contract models that would be appealing to multinational oil corporations. So they went on a tour and literally went and met with Chevron and met with Exxon and met with corporate heads to find out what would be the best model. And the model they stuck with and have been with from the beginning, and they meaning, I would argue, the U.S. pressure being applied onto the Iraqis, is the model that just happens to be the best one for multinational oil corporations.
Right.
And that model, it does include some language, as you say, which says essentially, well, there's three sentences. The problem is that Iraq's constitution remained very vague about how revenue could and should be shared between the regions and the central government. And the oil law has three sentences which essentially say, we think it'd be a good idea for Iraq to pursue the idea of centralizing the revenue and sharing it on a per capita basis. The rest of the bill, as you say, opens up Iraq's oil to multinational companies, two-thirds of Iraq's oil at least. But in addition, the way the law is written, it actually heavily favors a potential collapse of power in the central government of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and shifting it toward the region.
Let's pick up there. I need to take a break, and we'll come back and discuss that a little further. Antonia Juhasz is our guest. Her book is The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Your calls and comments are welcome. We'll head into the free speech zone soon here, so call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
All right, let's take a look at traffic. We've got to tell you a little bit about what's happening in San Jose. Things starting to improve there. We had a SIG alert there. It was a grass fire northbound 101 at Bailey. Here's the deal. The two right lanes now opened, and it's been closed for quite some time because of a grass fire. And actually, it was a car fire spread to the hillside, and then it became a grass fire, as you can imagine. Traffic slows from 10. Southbound 101 is slow from Coyote Creek Drive to Cochrane. Meanwhile, not a whole lot of activity going on in Santa Cruz. We're going to let you know that we have some road work that we continue to tell you about. Northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day. For road work just scheduled through the 31st of December. This report brought to you by Kaiser Permanente. At Kaiser, they believe every day is a new opportunity to thrive. Kaiser Permanente.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines available if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We continue with writer Antonia Juhasz. She is also a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. Her book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. And we're talking about the pressure from the United States on the Iraqi government, including the parliament that wants to take a two-month vacation this summer. And that vacation plan has drawn more criticism from members of Congress in Washington than the issues that we're talking about here today, which can fundamentally affect the future of any government in Baghdad and the U.S. Tortured relationship with that region. Antonia, before the break, I had to cut in. You were starting to describe your sense of how this can affect the central government going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And just let me say quickly, I do talk about the oil law in detail in the book, and my book, The Bush Agenda, is just out last week in paperback with a new afterword that updates the negotiations on the oil law. So I encourage folks to take a look at that. And one of the things I discuss is that in Iraq, the law is referred to as the breakup Iraq law, because essentially, if the regions end up being more powerful than the central government at the end of the day in Iraq, the oil has a tremendous amount of authority in the hands of the regions, potentially, to make crucial decisions on ownership of the oil fields and contracts. If the central government ends up being the most powerful at the end of the day, it could be argued that the law puts an power into the central government to maintain power there. So essentially there's an intense struggle happening in Iraq between those who want more power in the regions, who want more power in the central government, and the oil law could very conceivably go either way and facilitate potentially the breakup of Iraq. And for people who have been struggling in Iraq against the occupation and have said, all along that this will be the end of Iraq as a nation, they're very, very concerned about this oil law facilitating that process. And, in the end of the day, the bottom line is, I think quite simply that the oil law will definitely create intense, increased instability in Iraq simply because of the reality known on the ground there that this is a U.S. creation, a law that facilitates U.S. corporate access and ownership. And also at the end of the day, regardless of how we got there, if before the war, U.S. oil companies were essentially shut out of Iraq's oil fields, and after the war and after the occupation, U.S. oil companies were in an ownership position of two-thirds of Iraq's oil, the idea that the United States would then end the occupation is ridiculous. And then, two, the idea that we would somehow be safer, that the world would look at us in any sort of positive light, is also ludicrous. And this, essentially, this oil law is, you know, whether it is pushed by the United States in some form or not, I think is the question of whether the war will truly be brought to an end or not, and is a question of how we will be viewed in the world and moving forward.
Antonia, just a minute remaining, and as you pointed out, Congressman Kucinich is one of the few who has articulated these issues on our side of the divide, and it seems that most Democrats and Republicans don't really care about this. They think it's an inconsequential issue.
You know, I'm not sure about that. I think that most Republicans certainly understand it for what it is and care very much about it and very much want to see the Iraqis move this law forward. I think they'd very much like it to be out of the public debate. I think they are quite sure about that. I also think that most Democrats, you know, have taken a political decision over a moral decision in this case, which is that I think the pushing for the benchmarks to them made them sound reasonable. It made it sound like they weren't just calling for an immediate end to the war, but rather were putting conditions on the Iraqis.
Yeah.
And that made them sound reasonable. And I think that was choosing politics over morality. And, you know, there are Democratic members in the Congress, I think, who share the opposition to the law, and regardless of what happens with the supplemental, need to hear from us right away that we oppose.
Thank you. Antonia Juhas, the book The Bush Agenda, is out in softcover. Pick it up. Call me next in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue, with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? You can call with any subject, any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And we pay for the call at 888-5-PETER-B. What you doing?
That's me in the spot, like losing my religion.
I want to say it was a powerful hour just prior to this one with Chris Hedges, and his new book really made an impression on me, American Fascists, the Christian Right, and the War on America. And I invite you to call and comment on your thoughts about the role of evangelical Christian radicals in American politics. And what it's going to take for seculars to regain balance. I do not wish to deny religious freedom to anyone in America. But their freedom has to include a freedom for me, a freedom from religion, a freedom from having anything, any kind of belief like that imposed on me or anyone else. And I feel that balance has been lost. And Chris Hedges puts it in the strongest terms. I encourage you to pick up his book if you're so inclined, because I think that it will offer you some very interesting commentary and also tell you about some of the people who may be off your personal radar. So if you'd like to comment on that, I invite you to call toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. But you know the rules here. You can talk about any subject. You don't just have to follow what the host sets as the agenda. And before we go to your calls, I just wanted to share a couple of quotes that I didn't have time for when Chris Hedges was here because I felt his comments were so important. These are quotes from the late Jerry Falwell. The abortionists have got to bear some burden for the attacks of September 11th because God will not be mocked. And when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen. Now, I believe that's a crackpot comment. And I believe that he got the appropriate reaction to it, although many people who call themselves Christians failed to challenge him while they excoriated Muslims to reject the extremes presented by Osama bin Laden and others. Another quote from Falwell. I listen to feminists and all these radical gals. Most of them are failures. They've blown it. Some of them have been married, but they married some Casper Milktoast who asked permission to go to the bathroom. These women just need a man in the house. That's all they need. Most of the feminists need a man to tell them what time of day it is and lead them home. They blew it. They're mad at all men. Feminists hate men. They're sexist. They hate men. That's their problem. Next quote. The ACLU is to Christians what the American Nazi Party is to Jews. I mean, that's just so irrational and uninformed. Because the ACLU has rightly earned criticism from almost every sector of American society because they stand up for the least popular and the segment that is least able to protect or defend itself. That's enough of those Falwell quotes. I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. And Drew is up first from Monterey. Hello, Drew. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Peter. The extreme Muslims are willing to blow themselves and other people up to protect their religion. So I feel like churchgoers, Christian churchgoers, are unfairly prosecuted by the left because they democratically speak out about what they disapprove of.
Well, first of all, I would challenge you. I don't believe that radical Muslims are willing to blow themselves up for their religion. I think that they are victims of radical thinking that certainly is wrapped up in religious values, but has a very clear political nature as well. And I would also offer, and this is just one example, and I don't want to make this a smear of every Christian or even every evangelical, but a crazy guy showed up at Falwell's funeral with a bomb in his trunk. And he was going to use that bomb to respond to people that he thought were going to be there to protest against Falwell. Now, there is irrational thinking on the part of a lot of people, some of whom claim to be highly religious. And we need to separate that irrational behavior and that irrational thinking from, more mainline, mainstream persons and expressions. That's my view.
Well, Peter, that distinction was made by a Pew Research poll that said that 5% of American Muslims sided with Al-Qaeda and felt that suicide bombing was a reasonable means of protecting their religion. And also there was a 20-something percent that refused to say one way or the other. So that 5% is probably greatly higher than that. So we're not talking about one crazy guy who showed up at a funeral. We're talking about a more prevalent mode of thinking among a large number of people. I mean, 5% sounds like not very many, but you're talking about a couple of 100,000 people. That's the size of some cities in America, an entire city thinking that it's okay to blow people up to protect their religion. I'm not sure what their definition of protecting their religion is. But, the thing is, I think a lot of people that criticize evangelicals and Christians, they listen to radicals like Falwell, but I wonder if any of these people has actually gone to a church and talked to some of the people in there. I think you'd find that the overwhelming majority are pretty nice, loving, caring people. And furthermore, there's Christian funds that do more around the world as far as charitable contributions than any other religion in the world.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I think the vast majority of Christian churchgoers are good people who would not espouse extremist views or actions. I don't have any problem with that assertion at all.
But the name of the book saying, American fascist and the Christian right, it's kind of lumping it, and the war on America, that's kind of, I don't know, that's just a hideous title to me, and I'm sure there's some insight in the book, but I mean, that to me seems like not a war on America that he's talking about. It seems to me like he's talking about a war on Christianity. But I appreciate you taking my call, Peter.
I always do. Thanks for your call, Drew. I appreciate it. And do pick up the book, even if the title offends you. It's very well written, and Chris Hedges is a very smart guy. Dave in Santa Cruz, thank you for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Yeah, I cannot believe that they don't just write up the bill they want, the Democrats, and make Bush come to him to get the bill, you know, instead of acting like they've got to do something to get him to sign what they want.
Well, Dave, apparently you have a better understanding of the process than too many of the members of the Democratic caucus, because you're making a point that I agree with and that I've offered in one form or another, and that is, in very simple terms, the president can't spend money without an appropriations bill. An appropriations bill must originate in the House of Representatives. The Senate cannot write one of its own and then try to thrust it down the throat of the members of the House. So it has to start there. And if the Democrats in the House who control that House had offered a bill, pick your number, of $10 billion, $20 billion, $30 billion, anything short of the $95 billion for the occupation that Bush demanded, then he could not have forced the Senate or, unilaterally increased that level of appropriation. And, starting back in the origins of this debate over the supplemental, the Democrats blew it, in my view, by accepting the frame and language of the Bush administration that this was about the troops. It has precious little to do with the troops, and this is an administration that has offered lip service and, has a very poor record of actions in actually, properly giving our troops the resources, the support, the technology, the body armor, the armor for Humvees, all down the line. And so the Democrats have permitted the Republicans to run this debate using their language, their frame, and their terms, and this is what we wind up with.
Oh, I agree with you, but I think what it also shows is that there's not a hell of a lot of difference between Democrat and Republican politicians. I think that the Democrats want to be there in the majority. They see themselves being there, but they also want to have the same faucet pouring money to them that the Republicans have got when they get there in the majority.
Well, Dave, I don't like to use sweeping generalizations when it comes to Democrats. You're generally right. There are a number of exceptions to that, from Barbara Lee to Sam Farr to Peter DeFazio in Oregon.
Yeah, you can count them on one hand.
Well, no, it might take more than one hand. But, your central point is hard to challenge, that the Democrats have not developed an appropriate strategy to try to rein in the president, force him to change policy. And while I have said and I continue to say that Pelosi and Reid played the strongest hand with the weakest cards, that ultimately they did cave in, and I'm very disappointed by that. They didn't even have to accept this phony deadline that this had to be resolved by the Memorial Day break. That simply isn't true, and the occupation would have continued, the contractors would get paid, the troops would get paid. The Pentagon would have found a way to keep the money flowing. And so I'm disappointed that the Democrats have operated in this manner and that they are trying to spin it that they've made a significant progress. They've made a little progress, but I wouldn't call it significant. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the call. Now to Billy in Capitola. Hey, Billy, you're on the air.
Hey, buddy. Well, Dave's not happy with the permanent professional political class. What a shock.
Well, I'll let him speak for himself.
Well, he was pretty clear, I thought.
Yeah.
But for our friend Drew, Drew, it's not Christians in general that are the problem. People praying in church aren't a problem for anybody ever. It's when they leave the church and try to shove their principles up our or down our or whatever it is that wherever they're trying to put them.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamentalists of every sort. It's not just Christians. You can call them Christianists, Islamists, and then other people who think that they're right, and therefore somehow being right means that we have to pay attention to them, because in the final analysis, there's so many of these things they call religions that the only rational response to them is, I must treat them all the way they would treat every other religion but their own, and that is as if they're silly and wrong.
Well, and Billy, what this underscores for me is that the concept of separation of church and state has never been more important.
And never been more challenged.
Indeed. And we need to recover and develop appropriate separation. And that doesn't mean that religious people can't run for office or that religious people cannot operate politically to try to work their values into the political process.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Well,
maybe we should, we've had only religious people run for office for the past 200 years. I'm not happy with the results. Let's call a 20-year moratorium and only allow atheists to run for office. What do you say?
Well, it would take us a long time to balance out, so I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't really want to go that far, though, to restrict those people's freedoms. But they need to respect that we need a healthy separation between church and state, and that it's in the best interest of their practice of religion to be separate from the state.
Did you hear Newt Gingrich speaking at Falwell's graduation ceremony?
It was a funeral.
No, actually, I meant the graduation
ceremony. Oh, at the university.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
He said the following, don't think that because Falwell's here, we're going to miss our opportunity to convert all of America. Thank you, Newt Gingrich. I mean, really, all of America?
Well, and he's one of the great moralists of our time. Ask any of his wives or his mistress.
Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. More calls coming up next. There are a couple of lines open if you'd like to join in. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Check our archives at the website peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Our founding fathers warned us. What we have weathered is nothing to compare with what is here now. This Saturday and Sunday, May 26th and May 27th, come to Conspiracy Con at the San Jose DoubleTree Inn. Speakers talking about 9/11, Iraq, depleted uranium, past and present conspiracies. Call 209-832-0999 or www.conspiracycon.com. Share your views and learn more. Conspiracycon.com.
That means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Well, let me tell you a little about, let's take a look at a problem in SoCal, Porter Street and SoCal Drive. It's a three-vehicle fender bender there. Salinas, a reservation road at Davis Road. We have an accident on the right shoulder. Two vehicles. CHP is present on scene, taking a report. Then in Live Oak, Gross Road at Churnside Lane. The roadway is partially blocked. The reason, I will be honest with you folks, it's called a stalled vehicle. Now, our big problem is in San Jose. It's a grass fire northbound 101 before Bailey. Right lane still closed as fire crews mop up a blaze. It actually started from a vehicle fire, then spread to the hillside. Traffic slows from Cochran. Southbound 101 is sluggish from Coyote Creek Golf Drive to Cochran there. The support brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. No microwaves, no freezers, just 100% fresh ingredients cooked to order. That's what a hamburger is all about. in and out.
Hey, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? Back to your calls here in the free speech zone. Stephen and Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. A few days ago on the Randy Rhodes Show, she was reading some quotes and asked her listeners to call in to identify the one being quoted.
Uh-huh.
They were all from either Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson or Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my.
And it's amazing how close all of these things were. About half the people that called in got the wrong answer. And she picked about a third from Falwell, a third from Robertson, and a third from Osama. And they were just so close to each other. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I didn't hear that, but I can hear it in my head.
I just thought people should know that.
Well, and how do we convey this in a way, because these are complicated issues and they're sensitive issues. And I know that there's some people who look up to Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, and because they're kind of single issue people who think that the definition of morality is based on abortion rights and opposition to them. At the same time, you know, it's our job, I think, to try to open people's minds and get them to see the bigger picture. And, you know, with just a week or so since he passed away, I'm not really interested in demonizing Jerry Falwell. I think he did a really good job of that himself while he was alive. What I'm interested in is reaching out to people who bought what he was selling and trying to get them to reel it back in and to respect the rights of secularists, that we do not have to live according to their vision and their morality, and that, in fact, they don't have the right to impose that on you and me, Stephen.
Well, and I would like somebody to ask those guys if being a Christian now is a follower of Christ. Because I think those are two totally different things now. Because there are just too many Christians who I think would just be Christ could not accept them and his flock.
Well, let me say two things. I was raised a Catholic, and I'm still recovering. And I believe that Jesus was a great human being, and I don't know whether he was the Son of God or a God figure, a deity. That's not important to me. It is important to other people, and I respect that. But what is important to me is that I've read the New Testament. I'm, you know, deeply familiar with the New Testament and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that the actions of many of these self-styled religious leaders of our time, and not just evangelical Christians, are consistent with that message. But it's very hard to really get that point of view across, because there is a kind of Christian demagoguery that prevents open and honest discussion of just those issues. Stephen, thanks for calling. Jake in Arcata, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing great.
You know, if you want to know about Jerry Falwell, just look at what happened with his funeral. None of the Republican presidential candidates showed up. So this idea that he's some sort of great, you know, heroic historical figure for the right, if that's actually true, then how come these guys didn't show up to his funeral, Peter B.?
I can't explain it for them. I can understand that John McCain, for example, is a little confused on where he stands now on the the influence of evangelicals in American culture. But I would have expected some of those knuckle-draggers who are running for the Republican nomination to show up there. I mean, Tom Tancredo from Colorado had an email out, and I don't know how I got on his list, but within a couple of hours of Falwell's death, trying to kind of pick up that mantle. So I at least thought that somebody like him would be there, and that maybe Mitt Romney would show up to try to broaden his religiosity appeal.
Oh, God, Romney, don't get me started. You know, to say that John McCain is confused, Peter B., you know, that's an understatement, to say the least. I think what's going to happen here with Mitt Romney and John McCain is I think those two are going to knock each other off, as often happens in, you know, crowded presidential fields. You know, some candidates will go after each other and eliminate each other from competition. And if you look at McCain and Romney, it's quite clear they hate each other. And, in fact, McCain's been getting some interesting comments in on Romney, the fact that, you know, Romney is flip-flop on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, I just find it interesting that the religious right, as they like to style themselves, really, I think, you know, fascist is a pretty appropriate description considering the fact that, first of all, what people like Falwell, Robinson, and Dobson preach has nothing to do with the New Testament. You look at the New Testament, and there's countless references to trying to alleviate poverty as being a moral cause.
Imperative, yeah.
That's right. But there's nothing in there about abortion. There's nothing about homosexuality. But according to the religious right, those are the two most important issues in the world. Of course, Jesus never mentioned a word about those issues.
Yeah.
So really what they're about is putting more money into the hands of the rich. You look at people like Falwell and Robertson. Robertson is a billionaire. His father, Pat Robertson's father, was a segregationist senator from the South. Pat Robertson, during the Korean War, was the liquor officer. Okay? So, you know, Republicans, as we know from George W. Bush's history and Dick Cheney's history, they do like to drink quite a bit. But, you know, that aside, I think it's funny that these ultra-rich people like Pat Robertson want to tell us about Jesus' message when they don't have a clue what Jesus was talking about.
Jake, you're very well informed. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Now to Susan in Santa Cruz. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say something about the religion thing. You were talking about secularism, that they have to respect the seculars. But you know what? They need to respect all religions as well. They only look at their own and want to spread it to everybody, and it's really annoying, to say the least. Okay.
I think that's a good point. Go on.
What I wanted to do was to give people this number to call Congress, you know, the switchboard, free. So get ready, guys, 866-220-0044. That's 866-220-0044. And just to say that I'm found when I call, because I think it's really worth calling Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and those folks, you'll find that the people in the office are more in agreement with us than they are with them.
Susan, thanks for your activism. Thanks for the call today. I want to thank everybody who listened to the Peter B. Collins Show, including our new listeners on KPOJ Portland.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The U.S. military apparently confirms that a body found in Iraq is that of a missing American soldier. The word comes from a relative of one of the missing men, Army Private Joseph Anzac Jr. of Torrance, California. Earlier today, Iraqi authorities said they'd found the body of an American in the Euphrates River. Three men have been missing since their unit was ambushed 11 days ago. The United States sent a none-too-subtle message to Iran today when two aircraft carriers conducted unannounced exercises in the Persian Gulf. It's part of an effort to discourage Iran's nuclear program that also includes covert action. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports exclusively that U.S. and allied intelligence operatives have been working to sabotage the program by selling Iran flawed components.
One successful example was cited by senior government representatives CBS News spoke to on condition neither they nor their country be identified. Call it the case of the exploding power supplies. in April 2006, as Iran was first running centrifuges and attempting to enrich uranium, the power supplies blew up, destroying 50 centrifuges.
Iran is banned from buying nuclear components, so it has to rely on the black market. The International Atomic Energy Agency says Iran is frustrating inspection efforts and continues to defy the UN by expanding its uranium enrichment efforts. That declaration could lead to more sanctions. The Federal Trade Commission says it's found no evidence of illegal activity by the oil companies, but CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House today took a stand on high gasoline prices.
The House bill would impose steep fines and even prison sentences for price gouging, defined as unconscionably excessive prices for gasoline, natural gas, and heating oil, or taking unfair advantage of an emergency like a hurricane. Many states have anti-gouging laws, but the federal government does not. The Bush administration has consistently opposed legislation like this, and even if it gets past the Senate, it would face a likely veto.
Given immunity from prosecution, former Justice Department official Monica Goodling testified to Congress today about the firings of those eight U.S. attorneys. Goodling denied playing a major role, but said Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty didn't tell all he knew when he spoke to Congress. As for applying political standards in the selection of career Justice Department officials, Goodling admitted that she was wrong.
I believe I crossed the law lines, but I didn't mean to.
McNulty is